All right, what up, Boss Talkers? You're here for episode 10 of the Boss Talk, a Guy Boston Sports podcast. I'm Evan Singleton, always alongside Sean Palmer. We will get to episode 10 right after a word from our sponsor of this episode.
It starts with one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I'm designed this rhyme to explain in due time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock ticks.
December 10th. All right, Sean, we are now a third of the way done December, pretty much. Is it just me or is December flying by?
Not even December. This entire year. Feels like the Patriots were just in the Super Bowl, and now here they are shitting on our Sundays.
Yeah. as you heard in the intro music, you know, sometimes you try so hard, and then you know what, Sean? In the end, you know what they say. It just doesn't even matter. That's kind of what we'll get into first. Obviously, the Patriots lost to the Miami Dolphins. It's like Shane on our website today, one of our Patriots writers, kind of just said that was just, you know, he titled it embarrassment. And it was like the way that game went down. Think about all the little things that were out of sync yesterday were embarrassing. You had Steven Gostkowski missing an extra point and a field goal. Then you had Tom Brady doing something so unpatriot-like. And then you had the end of the game play where Gronk one stumbles, falls on his ass, or should I say falls on his face. And the Dolphins went on a play that was lateraled like three times. John, let's start with that. You know, not exactly the best Sunday to us Patriots fans or anyone that covers the team or anything like that. What are your takeaways from that game immediately? Then we're going to get into that final play.
I know people like to say we didn't lose on that play. Literally, we did lose on that play, but obviously there was a lot of things in that game where the Patriots kind of just fucked themselves.
Right.
Gostkowski missed an extra point. He missed the 3 points. And then you had Tom Brady with a huge mental mistake before the half, takes the sack instead of throwing the ball away where we could have kicked the field goal. No guarantee Gostkowski makes that. No. But that Patriots team did not.
But it was a chip
like
shot, right? That last field goal would have been. I mean, not to say that he was going to definitely make it because he's had his issues. But that last play at the end of the half was a chip shot, and that was just so un-Patriot-like. So let me ask you,
missed a chip shot later in the game too, and
he just
made it.
Right. So let me ask you this: so who exactly? Now you got to pick somebody, all right? Whether you feel very confident about it or not, who is to blame for this loss? I'll give you some choices. Like you said, we have Gostkowski for missing the original extra point after a fantastic drive by the Patriots in their first score. Then you have Brady for taking the sack. You have Bill Belichick or Bill Belichick slash coaches for the personnel on the field at the end of the game, or the decision to run the ball at the end of the game and just kick the field goal instead of going for a TD. And then we have Gronk, who was quite literally the person that just fell flat on his face. So out of those, you got to pick somebody. You got to put the blame on somebody. Not to say they all didn't have something to do with it, but who do you feel most strongly about?
You know, I have a hard time blaming Gronkowski. He had a big game, 107 yards and a touchdown. Brady was spot on. He kind of lost near the end of the game. He started the game out perfectly, and I have a hard time blaming him. Yes, he had that one mental lapse where he should have thrown the ball away, but he had a great game, 3 touchdowns. I think what I'm hearing a lot and what I kind of agree with is Bill Belichick.
Yep.
He cost the Patriots, and he's like battling his own team with his decisions, just like in the Super Bowl, benching Malcolm Butler. Sometimes he just tries to outsmart himself, and he just ends up looking like an idiot and costs us. I think even near the end of the game, when we're going for that last field goal to put us up with like 7 seconds left, I think they should have went for the touchdown. Worst case scenario, the Dolphins get the ball back on the 3-yard line or whatever, and they have to go the whole length of the field. Just a bunch of questionable decisions from that coaching staff.
Yeah, so I'm going to I told you have to pick one. So I'll pick one. I'll say that, or I'll take it in two different directions. The actual end of the game play, the play that lost them the game, that's Bill Belichick's fault, right? You were kind of getting on that. Like, it's how do you have Gronk out there? It's not a Hail Mary situation. It really isn't. Like, Ryan Tannehill's not reaching the end zone out there. You have to expect that they're going to do some sort of screen pass or anything. Like, that play, everyone knew, okay, here comes the short pass and the laterals. You know, at least I thought so, and at least most of Twitter, as I saw, thought so. So it's like, why is Gronk out there? Because guess what? Like, those type of plays, you don't need a tall, hate to say slow, but tall big man out deep because he's not going to need to jump high and swat a ball. So, you know what? I will say that that was a personnel thing. And who does the personnel fall on? It's Bill Belichick. Though, you know what? I'll say this. This is my answer to my own question. If Steven Gostelsi just made the first extra point, that's a tie game going to overtime. The Patriots would have mopped the floor with them in overtime. I'm confident in that. Guess what? If you made that field goal earlier in the game, that touchdown wouldn't have mattered. So you know what? As much as Bill Belichick does have a lot to do with that loss in terms of, you know, especially late game play with calling for the run and stuff like that, so unpatriot-like, Steven Gostkowski, this was his I'm going to miss every single thing game that he does every single year, and, you know, it couldn't have come at a more crucial time. We'll get into some of the standings afterwards. But, yeah, you know, as much as Bill Belichick can get put under a microscope on this, it's like, let's not forget that the Patriots, before we even knew Steven Gostkowski was having a bad day, he missed the first extra point. You're like, okay, it's fine. It's the Dolphins. It'll be fine. They're still winning at halftime, but you know what? Steven Gostkowski, in my mind, what the hell is that guy doing? He had me wanting to throw my TV across the room or throw something at my TV from across the room, and it was just terrible. So you say Bill, I say Steve. Obviously, we both can consider that they both had something to do with it. Same thing with Brady. Like, Brady's unpatriot-like play, that was so stupid. It's almost like Tom Brady, for the first time that I can really remember in his career, thought that he had a timeout that he didn't. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even try and get up after getting sacked. He kind of stayed there, and he was like, oh, shit, oh, crap.
That's it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, and again, I think this all stems from them not think, okay, it's the Dolphins. We'll be fine. Just like, I bet no one cared after, on the sidelines that Gostkowski missed that field goal, missed that extra point. I mean, yes, they're probably like, oh, he should have made it, but no one was like, oh, geez, that's going to come back to haunt us. Because they were probably thinking we can beat this team. Well, you know what? You didn't. So that's a little. How would you describe that word? One loss. In one word. Describe that loss in one word. Sorry.
I would say devastating.
Devastating. So that can parlay that into this. So that's devastating. Now that the Patriots are kind of on the outside looking in towards the number one seed, they still have a strong chance at the number two seed. So we're not excluding that yet. But do you think this team can beat the Chiefs? And, you know, answer this in two parts. Do you think they can beat the Chiefs alone? And then do you think they can beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium?
I think they can definitely beat him at home. I wouldn't be that nervous. Not that I say I'm not afraid of Mahomes, but I think Brady can keep up with him. But in Kansas City, with an electric team like this, especially with Tyreek Hill, actually, apparently his injury isn't that serious. So that weapon is added back to the core. Or it could go either way in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I'm a little scared of that. I'm scared of them. I'm scared of Houston. Like, do I still have faith in the Patriots? Yes, but this isn't going to be as easy as other seasons.
Yeah. So I would say that I think, Sean, and I hate to say it, but you know what? I've said things on these airways before, and then I've been wrong, and it works out in the benefit, you know? It works out towards the benefit. Like, when I predict the Red Sox would go 7 games almost every series, that didn't happen. So I'm going to say this. I think the Patriots are – I don't think they stand a chance against Kansas City, and I think that's especially true in Arrowhead Stadium. And it's like I said, I'm not really giving up on them. I'm just saying, if I'm trying to be unbiased here, if I'm trying to not be a fan for a second, I think that this Patriots team doesn't stand a chance. Now, my fandom in me knows that the Patriots can beat the Chiefs and knows that Bill Belichick will out Andy Reid being Andy Reid. You know what I mean? So that part, I haven't lost faith in it, but I'm just trying to be unbiased, and I think that the Chiefs are far superior in terms of their firepower, and even when their defense starts to click, they have some playmakers. But then, you know, throw in the 12th man, Arrowhead Stadium, one of the hardest places to play. I think that this Patriots team, I don't think they stand a chance there.
Odds are Andy Reid will probably burn through 3 timeouts in the third quarter.
Yeah,
he's gonna get confused, start throwing challenge flags. He's gonna get real messed up.
So, so you would say that both home and away they you're still confident that they can beat. So let me phrase it like that. I said, do you think or whatever, and you said you wouldn't lose faith. Are you confident in them going in and beating the Chiefs? Like, if I were to give you, like, what would you put the percentages at?
In Kansas City?
Yep.
I think I'd have to do a 50-50 split.
So you think it's a toss-up? See, I'd say, so let me, I'll give a percentage to explain what I was thinking. When I say the Patriots don't have a chance to keep up with the Chiefs, I'm just putting it like a 75-25 in favor of Kansas City. So I'm still really not like total, like, Patriots suck. I guess I kind of came across that way. But that's not exactly what I'm trying to get at. I'm just trying to say, which I think most people can understand. Like, I'm not trashing the Patriots. I'm just thinking that there's a better team, like, geez, God forbid there's a better team in the NFL right now, you know, and especially in the AFC. So
and I think we'll know in the first quarter if Tom Brady's got it or not.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be the AFC championship. And now I still think the Patriots will get to the AFC championship because I think they're going to win the 2 seed. I think they're still going to have a first round bye. It's just going to come down to, you know, the Chargers and I guess the Texans, they lost too yesterday. So that's good for the Patriots. The Pittsburgh Steelers lost again. So, you know, it's really coming down to Texans and Chargers, I guess, for that 2 spot, along with the Patriots. The Patriots did beat the Texans head-to-head, and they definitely have a better – I actually don't know the numbers, but I feel like they have a better division record just being in the AFC East. So I'm still confident that they can get that 2 spot. Obviously, this Sunday is big against the Steelers. How do you feel about that game, Sean?
It seems like the Steelers are just really spiraling right now.
Yep.
Obviously, they still have a potent offense, even without James Conner and Le'Veon Bell. They still have Antonio Brown, Juju. It's a dangerous team, but if their defense and lack of coaching just keeps biting them in the ass, I think the Patriots will have a nice comeback from last week's and hopefully kick their ass.
Kind of like,
because they need to show it
game
after yesterday's embarrassing loss, because that was just unbelievable.
Yeah, that was, and Matthew Slater said it on the radio, it's like these losses are harder to get over because you should have won it. Whereas Tennessee, when they got their asses kicked by Tennessee, it was kind of like, hey, yeah, guys, we got our asses kicked, we didn't come to play today, let's go on to next week. But now it's like, all right, late in the season, we lost one that we should have easily won, really. Like they had plays there that they blocked 2 punts. They let a team that had their punts blocked twice beat them. Like, that's a big deal.
You need to let ESPN Fantasy Sports know that, because I only got points for 1 block.
Oh, really?
Some bullshit.
So, Sean, let's talk. Actually, you know what? I'll ask you one question, then we're going to talk a little bit of fantasy football. So, you said a couple weeks ago that you think the Patriots were going to make it to the Super Bowl against the Saints, I believe. How are you feeling about that now after that loss?
On the Saints side of things, they've actually kind of spiraled these last few weeks. They came with a victory yesterday, but I still think the Saints still might come out of the other conference. And the Patriots, you know, the Dolphins just have their number. They might be their new, like, division rival. I could care less about the Jets. The Dolphins just own Tom Brady and the Patriots in Miami, except when I go to Miami. Patriots are 2-0 when I'm in Miami for Monday Night Football. Just throwing that out there.
All right.
But I still think the Patriots always find a way to be in the Super Bowl. It's like, again, like, I'm happy about that, but it's just, you see people that don't watch football, but wait, the Patriots in the Super Bowl again? Like, is that an automatic thing where it's just the Patriots versus any other team in the Super Bowl? I think they're going to find their way back.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. I think this is the first year in a while that I don't think it's going to happen. You know, it's, I hope they do, and I still want them to, and I still think they can. If I'm betting man, I'm not betting on, well, actually, I already have bet on the Patriots getting to the Super Bowl. Shit. Well, if I was a betting man now, I wouldn't double down on it. Yeah, I would say, I think after their loss, the Patriots were like 850 to one, or plus 850 to win the AFC Championship. I hopped on that. And they were like plus seven. No, they were plus 850 to win the Super Bowl and like plus six something to win the AFC. Hopped on that. But yeah, we'll see. So I can't say if I was a betting man because I already literally factually was a betting man on this game.
My grandfather wanted to make a bet on Saturday. I said, the Patriots and the Celtics are not going to lose until January. Well, the Patriots aren't going to lose again the rest of the year. And he said, you want to put $1,000 on it? Thank God I did not say yes.
Oh, boy. I mean, if you listened to my live stream on Twitter, I said the Celtics are going to go 14-0 until January 2nd.
That was my inspiration on that side.
Oh, there we go.
You could lose me money, too.
I could have, watch. Celtics have a tough one tonight. Well, I have a little bit of Celtics talk, and we got a couple Celtics questions from listeners, Sean, so you'll have to bear with me at the end of this podcast. But I got a question for you now. Your fantasy football comes down to tonight, right? You need some sort of miracle?
Oh, I'm stressing out.
What's the deal there? So if you hadn't been following Sean on Twitter, Sean, you had an undefeated season so far, is that right?
11-1.
So 11-1, okay.
This won't be like Patriots 18-1 for frustration, but number one seed going up against a team that's 5-7. I think I got it in the bag. And then there goes Melvin Gordon. He decides to get injured.
And I had him too. We both know.
And then I'm the smartest man ever. I pick up James Conner at the beginning of the season. Carries me through this whole entire year. He was a consistent 20 points a game for me. And he was just an absolute beast in my flex spot because I was absolutely loaded at running back. And here I am losing 83.5 to 44.7 with one game left. I have two players going tonight. I have Russell Wilson and Adam Thielen.
So I'm in a similar situation, but I can't win. How much are you down, you said?
I'm down like 39 points.
Okay, so you have a chance. You have a chance. Who does he have left? Does he have anyone playing?
It's a girl. And they got Delvin Cook.
Okay, so it's going to be tough, but you got a chance. I am down 148.8 to 63.
Yeah, you're absolutely fine.
with Adam Thielen left. My season was kind of tough. I had Leonard Fournette. He was my keeper, and I drafted Melvin Gordon, and I also had Jay Ajayi, Cooper Kupp. I had O.J. Howard. All these guys getting injured. Leonard Fournette, you know, I was rolling that first week. Leonard Fournette had like 4 points in the first 2 minutes of the game. He went down. He was off and on. Obviously, Melvin Gordon was good all year, but it was like I never had a healthy team, ever. I even had Sammy Watkins this week, didn't play. I had a rough go later on in the season. I finished at 7-6, was the fifth seed in the playoffs, and lost. So I think I'm definitely losing here. So it was a good season, but you know what? What are you gonna do, right? Sean, you still have your chance.
This is the healthiest and best season I've ever had.
Yeah, because you had a good year. Melvin Gordon and James Conner were two studs. Melvin Gordon's probably gonna be my keeper next year.
I benched Brate yesterday. I put in Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham gets me 1.3.
Yep.
Absolute corpse of a tight end.
And Brate had a couple TDs.
Yep, he had two touchdowns, 13 points. And I had Dak Prescott. I picked him up just to have a quarterback just in case Russell Wilson went down. He threw for 455 yards just to laugh in my face.
Yep.
And Adrian Peterson rushed for 16 yards, matching the total points that the Redskins scored yesterday.
Yeah, and, neither one of us, you just still have a chance. That's what you can think. You need some sort of a miracle. I just need a thing that's not possible. Like, Adam Thielen is not going to score 80 points tonight. He's not.
Better.
Right? Like, he's just not going to score 80 points. I think I'm right when I say that. No, I need him to score 85 points. I can't even be happy with 80 points.
Hey, you never know what could happen. You go all Randy Moss.
Yeah, you do never know. You do never know. So let's see. We have a could have looked this one up. Let's see if we remember off the top of our head. I'll try and look it up as we do it. So we have someone asking a question on Twitter. You know, when can you think of a... We'll take this question and kind of, instead of just factually speaking, this one's coming in from Max Julian. He says, before the season, when was the last time Patriots gave up 30 points or more on the road? Let's not answer that because that's so factual. You can look it up. How about after this loss, when was the last time you can remember, before the season, because they've had a couple of them, when was the last road loss that you really, I guess, remember? And it was that bad?
I would say was it Kansas City? When Trent Dilfer just said, we're just not good anymore.
What was that? That was 2000 and maybe like 15. That was the Brady was supposed to stink. I remember Jimmy Garoppolo came into that game, right?
That's a very memorable game.
That's a really good call. We're on the Cincinnati game, I think. Now we've heard Bill say, you know what? I'm gonna piggyback on that. I think that's probably mine too. I wasn't thinking of that, so I guess I can't necessarily claim it. I was gonna say I forget what year it was, but when they went in and played Miami and like they ran the ball 20 times to start the game and then they just got killed. And I was like, why did you do that?
Pat White, the Wildcat.
Should have done my research here. But either way, I just faintly remember that. But you know what? I'm going to piggyback on the Kansas City because that's a really good one. Because that literally was a turning point back to being a dynasty. You know what I mean? Like the Patriots in people's minds were just done then. You know, let's face it. They're just not good anymore. Don't think so. Don't think so. Tom Brady turned it around. Malcolm Butler saved the day. I think we can, you know what? You might have even just 180'd my whole opinion on this Patriots team, Sean.
Changed your life.
I think now remembering how I felt during that time, you know what? Screw a Patriots to the Super Bowl. Mid-show, Sean changes my mind completely. So we have a couple. We can kind of start transitioning into some Celtics talk here because we have two Celtics questions. In the event, this one's coming in from Tyler M. Adolfo underscore 133. It's a mouthful. Good question, though. It is a good question. In the event of a major injury or several major injuries, do you think we could still maintain a top three defense in the league? And I think we all love the Celtics offense these last five games, but that injury report the Celtics tweeted out has me worried. And what he's talking about is now it's been confirmed. No Kyrie Irving tonight, no Gordon Hayward tonight, no Al Horford tonight, no Aaron Baines tonight, and no Gersan Yabusele tonight. Sean, with no Baines, no Horford, no Hayward, no Irving, what do you think, you know, can this Celtics defense maintain what it's doing? I'll just say this off the get. I think it can, because I think that their best defenders right now are... I would say Marcus Smart, obviously, Marcus Morris, Jaylen Brown starting to play better defense. So I don't think that the guys that are injured are huge defensive players. Gordon Hayward is one of the better ones. Al Horford, obviously. Baines is, obviously. I think they can still be one of the better teams. What do you think?
First off, I just want to give my brother and my dad credit for still going to tonight's game, wow, even though half the team died.
Good for them.
But I think that, like you said, Marcus Smart, I think, is such a big piece to this team. People can kind of fight off of his energy and bring the same type of aggressiveness, mm-hmm, to their defensive game. Maybe they're playing above their level, but if that's all they need to get through maybe a week or two of injuries,
yep,
I think they can get by.
Yeah, I think that it's just like, you know, maybe I'll grant Tyler here the top three is kind of tough. That's tough, being a top three defense. However, I do think that the Celtics defense can still make it without those guys. But he also says in the event of a major injury or several major injuries. So he's not talking about without these five guys. He's talking about, let's say, Al Horford's done for the year. Not saying that he is, but that type of thing. That's a major injury, and that's the event of a major injury. I still think they can get by. I don't think we're not going to have nights like this too often where Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, Aaron Baines, they're all not playing. You know, that's a freak. That's a freak thing, and none of them are major injuries. But let's move on to Ryan C. Beck here. Shout out to Ryan. He's been a great follower on Twitter, getting into some talk with him and everything. And he says, Sean, I can definitely see you enjoying this question. Is Trader Danny going to make a move before the deadline? Perhaps trade Jalen and or Terry for a whale. What do you think, Sean?
A whale? We talking the one that lays in the ocean?
I think that's exactly what he means. I think
wasn't sure if it was Wale or something, the rapper.
No. WHAL. Do you think that they're going to trade for some sort of a superstar?
No, not this year. With Jaylen Brown, I think he's finally hitting his stride. And Rozier, who's probably going to have a triple-double tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's really a reason to trade him. You've made it this far in the season. Rozier is probably going to leave after this season. Just try to win a championship with this team, with this unit. I really don't see any purpose to trade for another superstar, because that's what those two guys would go for. We're not getting just a role player with those guys.
Right.
There's really no point of trading these two.
You'd get a whale, according to Ryan. So I'll say this. I think that it was certainly on the table maybe a couple weeks ago. But it couldn't have been an Anthony Davis because of the Rose Rule. And, you know, I don't think it could have been a Karl-Anthony Towns based similar things, but also the fact that I just don't think Minnesota would trade. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Celtics fans, me, myself included, I know I overvalue Terry Rozier. I love Terry. Everyone knows I love Terry. But I think Celtics fans also overvalue Jaylen Brown. Like, we think he's this stud. I do think he's good. I think he's an above-average NBA player, but he's not this special. You know, he's not special. Oh, but Evan, he scored 20 points in his last... Yes, if you've heard anything I said, I'm giving Jaylen full credit. I've never bashed Jaylen other than what he deserved, and I hope that him going to the bench allowed him to get a fire lit under ass, which it seems like it's happened. So good. I'm very glad that Jaylen Brown's playing better, but I don't think that he's worth a guy like Anthony Davis. Throwing Terry Rozier, they're going to be like, these guys are just two run-of-the-mill players, you know? We can find a Jaylen Brown. We can find a Terry Rozier anywhere. That's what they would think. I don't think that's the case, especially with Terry. But I think Celtics fans have this idea that Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier is this amazing package, whereas in reality, you'd need Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, maybe a couple first-round picks or something like that just to get a star, and at that point, it's not worth it. You're not going to give up two young guys in a couple first-round picks for a stud. You know, that's a lot. So I don't think the Celtics are going to trade. I do think it might have been on the table a couple weeks ago when they stunk. But just like the Kendrick Perkins rumors kind of started to fall off, when the Celtics win, are you really out here being like, oh, what are they going to do? Are they going to trade? No, if they're winning ball games, you're not concerned about them winning or acquiring or trading any other players. So Ryan, I don't see them doing that. But you know what, John, we never know what Trader Danny, do we?
You absolutely never know what he's going to do. But
we never.
He's
know.
Absolutely the best GM as far as Twitter goes. That's yeah. Hilarious.
Did you see the? I assume you're talking about the Marcus Smart tweet.
Yeah, he's trying to trade him so he can stay tied for that 3-point record.
Yeah, for those of you that didn't see it, Marcus Smart is now tied for 9th for 3-pointers made in a Celtics uniform,
which is
he's tied with Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge says, I think the trade deadline moved up to Monday. Going to trade this guy. It's great. Let me ask you this, Sean. Would you trade Gordon Hayward?
The fan of me, as far as remember being so excited about getting him here,
yep.
Him with Brad Stevens, such a likable guy. He's a family guy.
Yep.
We saw what he did last week with a 39-8. I don't think it would be smart for us to trade him when he's just starting to pick it up. I know he had a slow night the other night, but him coming off the bench, this team is dangerous. I have not seen their offense this good in a long time, putting up almost 130 a game over this last week or so. I don't think I'd want to trade Hayward. The only person I'd trade Hayward for would be the Anthony Davis trade, and that can't happen this year, so I really don't see the point in that.
Yeah, I don't see them. I just think that you'd have to sell them at a loss. I don't know how to say it. I would. I'd think that, you know, you're not going to get the return you'd want from him, say, from a year ago. You know, like, he was a better player then. If you trade him now, it's like, it's like, I don't know. It's like selling a stock knowing that you lost a bunch of money on it. You know. And I
have the vision of him hitting a game-winning three in the finals against the Warriors, and the whole team just jumping on him.
Yeah, there you go. And what, does his ankle snap at the bottom of the pile?
I'm not going to say that because most of the things I say come true. So
that's
not
true.
That.
You are a wizard, so that is true. And most of the things I say don't come true, you know, with all the predictions I've been making lately. So I think we're on the right track here, Sean.
Evan goes with the opposite of what he actually thinks, just for the sake of the teams.
I have to, yeah. I have to do it for the sake of everyone, you know. If I were to predict something, and if I were to predict anything happy happening and they just lose, it's like, oh, well, that's because Evan thought they were going to win. That's great, because I tweeted out today saying, I don't care about the injuries. I think the Celtics are still going to win. Oh, that's good to know. but all right, Sean, do we have any more questions? I think we had maybe one on the, see if I can find it here. I took a screenshot of those three. Now I'm looking. I think we had one more. If not, oh, here we go. Oh boy, we have a couple. Aside from how gut-wrenching, this one's from the Cheap Seat Pod. Shout out to Justin, the Cheap Seat Pod. Aside from how gut-wrenching and absolutely sickening that loss was, do you guys, in parentheses, like me, see the Pats winning out and Brady only needs 97? Okay, well, we'll answer the first part and then I'll say the second part of his question. Do you see the Patriots winning out? And their schedule is
Steelers. Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, I got it. So their schedule is going to be now Steelers and then should finish up with division, right? So Steelers, Bills, Jets.
Yeah, I'd say that's hopefully an easy 3-0. Hopefully
yep.
They react to this and come back and just kick these last three teams' asses.
Yeah, I do think that they win out. I think they're going to win out by a margin of like 15 points per victory. And then I'll get into the second part of his question. I didn't even read it at first. He goes, and Brady only needs 997 more yards for 2,000. So there we go. That's
2K.
Yeah, that's a good question to end it on. So, thank you guys for listening to this podcast. No shirt of the week this week. I will shout out again the Heart Boston t-shirt that we have. It's $20, and the proceeds are going to the American Heart Association. You can follow me on Twitter at FGuyBoston. I'm now unhacked and probably 90% functional on Twitter. You can follow the non-hacked at PalmerGuyBoston, Sean on Twitter there, and you know, GuyBoston Sports on Twitter. And Sean, what's our podcast Twitter?
It is The Boss Talk.
Yep, with one S, BOS. So head over there. We're really trying to grow that. 112 followers right now. That's about 40,000 less than all of our other accounts. So let's try and get that one up there. So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week. And make sure to use that sponsor. Tell them that we sent you. You know, we're saving you guys money. And by you guys doing that, you're supporting us. All right, Sean, we'll check in with these listeners later.
Merry Christmas.
And happy Hanukkah.